Thank you, Bob. And thanks to Lillian Rochelle, who was our soloist as the choir sang the introit earlier tonight. Shall we pray? Loving God, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us tonight, that we too, with the shepherds, may go and see this great news for all the world. May we worship and bow down before Jesus at the lowly manger. Amen. We got one of those newsy Christmas letters from a woman whose children Jane taught when we lived in New Jersey. Joan, who now lives in Birmingham, Alabama, writes about how her stepdaughter and other friends and family members had planned an 80th birthday party for her this year on April Fool's Day. No kidding, on April Fool's Day. She writes about the party. As the date grew closer, I sensed that it would be way too much fuss, and I had a panic attack. Cancel this, no party. Tell everybody, April Fool, I'm only 50. Well, that didn't happen. The party did. An amazing story, an amazing day, she writes. So many hugs. Friends I didn't know knew each other. I hope you can come to the next party. Andrea, a policewoman, promised me a parade for my 100th birthday party. So don't forget, you're invited to a parade in 20 years, Joan said in closing. Christmas is Jesus' birthday, right? Well, yes and no. While the New Testament doesn't anywhere name Christmas as Jesus' birthday, there is certainly nothing wrong with celebrating the incarnation of God. It is, after all, the dividing point in all human history. Ligonier Ministries asks, is Christmas a pagan holiday? That's a question that comes up almost every year. And the fact is that there's much in the New Testament that would indicate Jesus' birth in Bethlehem probably did not occur at this time of the year, nor is there any direct biblical commandment to celebrate Jesus' birth on December 25th. It just so happens that on the 25th of December in the Roman Empire, there was a pagan holiday linked to mystery religions, and the pagans celebrated their festival on, you guessed it, December 25th. The Christians didn't want to participate in that pagan holiday, so they said, while everybody else is going to celebrate the thing that's most important to them, let's we get together and celebrate what's most important to us, the birth of God's Son. So this is going to be a time of joyous festivities, of celebration and worship of God, our King. That's how Christmas came about. And I can't think of anything better than worshiping Christ and giving thanks to God for his birth every single year on this date. Keep in mind that the whole principle of annual festivals and celebrations is deeply connected to ancient Jewish tradition. And in the Old Testament, there were times when God emphatically commanded the people to remember certain things about God's work on annual festivals. By the way, Easter was originally the celebration of Ishtar, the Assyrian Babylonian goddess of fertility. Her symbols were the egg and the bunny. You didn't actually think eggs and bunnies had anything to do with the resurrection, did you? But the Christian church coming together to celebrate the resurrection is something rather wonderful, as is the Christian church coming together to celebrate Jesus' birth. In one of his last poems, W.H. Auden describes a Christmas he celebrated in the English countryside with a few close friends. During the week of Christmas in that year, the area was ensconced in fog, as it often is in England. No one could go outside. They were forced to settle back, enjoy the warmth, the season, and enjoy each other's company. The poem ends with a line that Auden may have meant as a kind of benediction for his own life. He said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, fog." Christmas Eve services come after the noise of the season. There are often those kind of moments when we should just thank God for being quiet for a moment or two, for being together with one another, and for the moment we have to hear the story once again, to hold our candles aloft and sing Silent Night together one more time. Peace and calm descend upon us. But the USA Today headline that I recently saw disagrees. Americans see more jingle and less Jesus in Christmas celebrations, it said. So I decided to check it out, and the article's opening line reads, "If there ever was a war on Christmas in America, Santa may have won. 9 in 10 U.S. adults celebrate the holiday, according to Pew Research. However, the celebration is shifting in a secular direction, and a growing number of Christians discount key elements of the biblical nativity story. Just 3 years ago, 51%, a majority of U.S. adults, said Christmas for them is more of a religious holiday than a cultural one, but that has slipped to 46% in 3 years. The Pew survey also said that only 32% say it bothers them that Christmas is becoming more secular. Key elements in the biblical nativity story have slipped from 65% of people in 2014 to 57% today. Things like Jesus was born to a virgin, baby Jesus was born in a manger, laid in a manger, wise men guided by a star brought gifts, or an angel announced the birth of Jesus. Both Protestants and Catholics have slipped in their beliefs and their embrace of these basic items that surround the Christmas story. Christian culture watchers say they've seen these trends gathering strength for years, so they don't despair. Instead, they say there are openings for all Christians to share the good news of the incarnation of God sending his Son. The survey captures how too many people think Christmas is about a mall, not a manger, says Ed Stetzer, executive director of the Billy Graham Center at Wheaton College. On the upside, and Christians, we always look on the upside, as fewer people celebrate Christmas without knowing the story of Christ, we have the opportunity to tell them why Jesus came, why he lived, why he died, and ultimately that he rose again, changing everything for Christians, not just changing one day. More than that, I think the world needs to hear the message of heaven come to earth in the Son of Mary. There's a lot of fear in our world today, and it fuels many of our attitudes. I think fear is probably what's behind many people trying to push Christmas aside, to push it out of the way. And it often leads to a time of fear. Max Lucado calls fear the bully in the high school hallway. And even we Christians, we fear many things. We fear that we might not have a perfect Christmas this year. We fear that the kingdom of God may not come to earth. And when we fail at that, we blame other people. We fear so many things that we forget to hear the message of the angel the night Christ was born, who said, "Fear not, fear not." But just when it seems to be only words, the angel pulls back the curtain, and there's a whole chorus of heaven singing, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. For a moment in that story, heaven and earth are so close that they can touch one another. And that indeed is the heart of the Christmas story, is heaven coming to earth, God pulling back the curtain far enough that we can see heaven, get a glimpse of heaven coming down. Preachers of the past would often preach a sermon by doing three things: tell a story, expounding the scripture, and then closing their sermon with a poem. I do believe that in 35 years, I have never, ever closed a sermon with a poem. But tonight will be different, because I found a poem that I think reflects the heart of the Christmas message, heaven coming to earth. It's a poem titled Christmas Questions by Clayton Leibolt. When Mary held you close in Bethlehem that night, and loving you, buried her face into your flesh, while animal sounds and smells filled your natal stall, did she then, from fresh skin, sense the faint fragrance of heaven? Or did she hear in your whimpering cries faint echoes of another world? Or touching you for a moment, touch eternity? Or in a shepherd's torch, catch a facing glimpse of the glory of a king? Did she that night, in the sweetness of a kiss, taste what no mother had before or ever after taste? Or was it then, as now it is, faith that made her see, hope she touched and smelled, and love that she, in your newborn smile, knew to be the meaning of her child? Waiting for heaven to come down this Christmas Eve with all of you is indeed my privilege and my joy. I so thank you for joining us this evening, for sharing the candlelight on this silent night. And as you leave this place, I ask you just to remember one very important thing. The Christmas story is not for you to keep to yourself. It's for you to share, to let others know that Christ has come, that heaven has come to earth. For in the birth of Jesus, heaven has come down. Happy birthday, Jesus. Amen.